Well, good morning on this Sunday, May the 2nd, to one and all. Good to talk with you again, give you some updates. I'd like to start with the announcements, and just a reminder that we have our Zoom meetings on Mondays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock, and we'd love to have you join us. Also, we have prayer times Monday at 2 and Friday night here at the church at 7. And also, our ladies are meeting Wednesdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. Want to remind you that we will be continuing the YouTube presentations until we get more word as to lifting of restrictions on the lockdown. Praise and prayer requests. We have a number that have come in. First of all, Suzanne had her MRI, and she's waiting for the results of that, trusting that she will get a good report. Ed and Audrey have left BC on Thursday, and they are due to arrive back today in the afternoon. And Doug and Deanne's grandson, Leland, is having some tests because he possibly might have epilepsy. And Phil's friend has come through the surgery at St. Mike's, went very well, and is now home recouping. Crystal, again, is asking prayer for Monica that will continue to heal, and also for her sister and the eye issue that she's dealing with. For prayer for the Noros, we have been in contact with them over this weekend, and we are just all praying that they will be able to get out before the borders are closed in the United States, and pray if the Lord lays on your mind to give a financial gift to help them with the costs of those flights for the six of them. For praise notes, Sheila continues to recoup at home, and she's doing very well. Bob's great-nephew, Steve, he's had the tubes removed. He's not talking yet, but sitting by the bed. I'm going to give a little more of an update on that as I preach today. One thing that Bob just told me, though, is that his sister's granddaughter, a little four-month-old, had a cleft lip and had surgery and came home and the other day stopped breathing and has passed away. So Bob's family is dealing with two different very unique extremes. So we need to continue to pray for Bob's whole family. So with that in mind, we're going to take a moment now and pray and ask the Lord to direct us as we head into this new week. Father, thank you for the blessings that we have, for the joys that we have experienced. Thank you for the freedoms, despite the lockdowns that we have in this country. When we hear of what's going on around the world and the absolute pandemonium and the panic for many, many people, Lord, your peace is what is needed around this entire world, your authority. And so we do pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven this day. And Father, we think of our families and wherever they are this day, that you will bless them. Thank you for healing touches and recovery for so many. Lord, there are also ones who are still going through grief, and so we lift them up to you. We think of Bob's sister with the death of her granddaughter. And Lord, we're all needing answers. There's so many stressors, and so we would need your peace that really does pass all understanding. Give us wisdom in these days and your continued protection. And Lord, thank you for the blessings that we hear and those waiting test results and things, that these will all be good reports. And so we just thank you for being our God and the ways you're working in our lives. Go before us this week, and may we see your marvelous miracles. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, family and friends near and far, on this second day of May. Sermon I want to start and talk to you about today, the title I've given is Unbelievable. And I want to start by sharing a story. We have a gentleman in our church, his name is Bob, and he has a great-nephew in his early 20s, and Bob's great-nephew, Steve, and a friend were working, building some scaffolding on an elevator shaft in order to do work in that particular shaft. They were 11 floors up from the ground. The scaffolding gave way. Steve fell down to the bottom of the shaft. His friend followed and landed on top of him. It was just an excruciating situation, and the result was that both men actually survived the fall. Both men, of course, were rushed to hospital. Steve's friend had broken arms and broken legs, but within a matter of a few days after being taken to the hospital, he was released and sent home. Steve, of course, was in a coma and various issues, ventilators and things like this. And so the word that I've been getting from Bob via his sister is that Steve now is able to sit up. All the tubes are taken out of his body. He's not yet able to talk, but everything is processing normally. The MRIs and the various CAT scans have shown that he is recouping incredibly well. His friend, of course, being at home, Bob's sister went over to see this young man, and he came down the driveway to talk to her. When we think of some of these situations, and I talked to you last week about grief, and how we can be so overwhelmed with grief, and then the flip side is the incredible miracles that can sometimes come right before us. And it was interesting because Bob's phrases all the way through all the different conversations he and I had, he kept saying, "It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable." And then he'd say, "But God's done a miracle." And I think a lot of times we really don't realize that God is a God of miracles, and he's doing phenomenal things, absolutely phenomenal things. He's been intervening in people's lives before even their own creation. And I want to remind you of this, the miracle of life that God gave to you even and to me. And it all started even before we were conceived in our mother's womb, because back in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord had a plan to even make men and women. And we see it in verse 7. "The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Tremendous miracle. And then in verse 21 and 22, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man." So we have the creation of men and women. David, I think, is one of the most expressive in terms of just the miracles of God. And when he talks about our own conception, in Psalm 139, he says the following in verses 15 and 16. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your books were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." God's a miracle working God, even in your own conception and in the fact that you were birthed and have life. He literally has made us alive. That's the first great miracle we have. And then the question is, well, then God, did God forget about us after we were born? I mean, there was a time in history where Christian philosophers felt that God was just out there and he was kind of like the watchmaker, and once he'd put it all in place, he kind of just let it all run itself. No, God has been intricately working with you and I and with millions of people for thousands of years. And we have Paul writing to the Hebrew church, to the Hebrews, and he says, "For God has said," verse 5 and 6 of chapter 13, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And God is with us as our helper, what? 24/7. And then the specifics, Peter brings out the specifics of how God has helped individuals throughout the course of centuries. "God did not spare the ancient world," 2 Peter 2:5, "but he preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when God brought a flood upon the earth of the ungodly." And then he goes on in verse 7 to say, "And if God had rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, And then he goes on to say, and the Lord then knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. The Lord has his hand on every one of us. And then Peter goes on and he says this in the first letter, and one of my favorite verses. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The eyes of the Lord are what? They're on the righteous. They're on his sons and daughters. He's aware of everything that you and I are going through. And he continues to interact with us, whether in action or word or event. And what I see is a God who is consistent, a God who is personal, a God who loves us like no one else loves us. And so when we think of Scripture and we look at the past and the examples that are laid out for us in Scripture, I can just see Paul in chapter 11, in that great faith chapter, and he goes and he says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets. And he's going to listen to try to get us to understand of how much we're loved by a heavenly Father who is a miracle-working God. And Paul, again, in Romans, he's trying to describe that reality in verse 34. Who is to condemn you and I? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is what? Interceding for us. And even the Holy Spirit says he intercedes in ways that are even deeper than words, groanings and utterings that are deeper than even we could articulate. So then is the moral of the story then so we all live happily ever after? And we head off to the sunset? No. We need to remember several things. We need to remember this is not our eternal home. This is a sin-infested world. And there is a prince of the power of the air who is trying to hurt people. 1 John 5:18 to 20 says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So how do you weigh it all? I mean, Jesus, less than 24 hours before he died, in John 16:33, remember, he says, in this world you will have trials and tribulations, suffering and persecution, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it and deprived it of power to harm you. So this life seems to be a paradox. On the one hand, we see marvelous miracles. On the other hand, we see vicious things. We see death. We see corruption. We see incredible lust and hurting. I mean, Paul even said in Hebrews 11:35-38, women receive back their dead by resurrection. Well, that sounds marvelous. That's miraculous. But then he goes on to say, but some people were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life, and others suffered mockings and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, they went about in the skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. How do you get your mind around these things? God is a God of working miracles, and yet there seems to be a real contrast. I mean, I think of Stephen. You remember in Acts, Stephen was given the position of looking after feeding the widows every day. He and others were to assist him, and the Jews started to hate him, and he began to talk about God, and then they got to the point that they began to stone him to death. As he said, look, I see God and the angels, and heaven was open before him. He was simply trying to feed widows, and he got killed. Acts 7 says that as he was even dying, he said, don't lay this charge against them. And there was one, a man named Saul, who was watching all this happen. Why didn't God protect him? The Steve that we talked about at the beginning of this sermon is sitting up and walking around a room, and yet a Stephen of 2,000 years ago simply stoned to death for what? Why doesn't God always supernaturally save and rescue and heal people? Well, the first thing we need to remember is God has given men a free will. And with it, some people intentionally seek to hurt other people. And what I'm realizing more and more is that a lot of things that happen on this earth that are not God directed, it's not God's fault. Men are choosing to hurt people. Men are choosing to kill people. Men are choosing to stone people, or as Paul said, have them sawn in half, or mocked or persecuted, or walking around the earth destitute. It's not God's fault. John Wesley said it best, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a lot of questions, but when I get there, I won't have any. I think you and I are all in the same boat. We look at these and, God, why didn't you intervene here? You intervened here. Why did this young man survive and this four-month-old die? It's hard. The reality is, and I go back to this all the time, God's purposes are vast beyond our cognitive scope of understanding. It's a question of the infinite versus the finite. And David, in Psalm 131, has helped me immensely over the years. And I give these verses for you to think about. He says in verse 1, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high, I do not occupy myself with things that are too great and too marvelous for me. So what he's saying is, okay, I realize these are things that are too big for me, but I've calmed myself, I've quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. So on the one hand, we still have to say, God, you're running the show, you're in charge. I don't understand it, but in you I'm going to calm myself. And then I think we need to take verses such as Romans 8 and verse 28. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now notice it doesn't say turn out well, but they work for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And I go back to Stephen's death. Stephen's death, and Saul is there watching, holding the cloaks of the men while they're zinging this man with stones. Of course, if everybody's throwing stones, then nobody can be accused of being a murderer, because who killed him? But that same man, within a few short months, became a convert for Jesus Christ and became the Paul that we know, who wrote half the New Testament. God, even in Stephen's death, had a bigger purpose than just keeping him from dying, although we think it was awful that Stephen was stoned to death. So, in life or in death, is God not working all things together for good? That's what we have to believe. And so, what are you and I to continue to do as we head into this week and in the days to come? Well, on the one hand, I think we calm ourselves, as I said, and we get back on our focus that we are Christians and God is in charge. But I like the idea of Hebrews 12, where Paul says to the church, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us weigh aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking... And the Greek says, actually, looking away to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may what? Not grow weary and faint-hearted. And sometimes we have to go back to the literal core of our faith and remind ourselves that even of the Savior of the world died. And he died an agonizing death. He was mocked and whipped and spit upon and cut in so many ways for hours. But he did it because there was a bigger purpose, and God had something great. And his death, what, affects all of us, and we have eternity because of it. So here's what I want to leave with you. In the midst of all the swirl of things going on in your life, whether life or death, a miracle, or what seems to be something that is an exact paradox or opposite, remind yourself of this from Hebrews 13, that may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, so what kind of power does he have? All power. The great shepherd of the sheep, who by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, as it works in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so I leave with you this idea. Let God interact in your life in whatever way he sees fit. And you know what? It's believable. And that's the reality of what we live in. That's the hope that we have. May I pray for you this morning. Father, in the ups and downs of life, the miracles or the events that we think are so incredibly hurtful, we need to remind ourselves that you see everything, you're aware of everything, and you are working everything for good, and you've also allowed people a free will. And so, Lord, in our free wills this week, may we be a comfort and encourager to people. May we be a prayer and a prayer warrior this week. May we be concerned in so many ways with empathy, sympathy, and care for one another, even if we have to sit down and weep with somebody who's weeping. Lord, in all of these things, you're working, and we have to believe that. And your miracles continue, and they are believable. And the greatest thing is that you never stop loving us, and you walk with us constantly. May we feel your presence, even if we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death this week. And Lord, in all of it, may we know that you're an amazing God. And Jesus, you're sitting at the Father's right hand, and you're interceding for every one of us every day. And that gives us great peace as well. And so, Lord, guide us and walk ahead of us as we head into this new week. And Lord, your miracles and the things that you're doing, we certainly will be love to see and honor you for what you're doing. We thank you now for being a great God and Father to us all. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.